I want to turn back to the first letter of St. John, to some of those words that were read by Kristen a few moments ago, and lift a few up for our consideration today. The apostle writes, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is called good news. Good news for us today. Good news for a broken and hurting world. Good news for a world that seems to suffer in darkness constantly. Good news for a world that suffers from violence and despair, from people being shot in schools and on the streets. This is good news for us here today, because it reminds us that the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that his gift of himself, is not just for us here in this room, and not just for people in other churches around the country today at this hour, and not just for Christians wherever they may be in the world. That Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Every sin that has ever been committed, every sin that will be committed, every sin, period, Jesus died for. There is nothing that you or I can do that would shock God, that would shock Christ, or that he did not pay for on the cross. Now, people ask me from time to time, what is sin? What am I doing? Is it a sin? Are these things that I'm doing a sin? Or are these other things that someone else is doing, are they a sin? And my answer is usually, well, that depends. Because you see, in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, the word for sin was a word that was used for people who were archers, people who shot arrows or threw spears. And it was a term that was used if they missed their target. Usually the spear or the arrow would fall short of the target. And they would say that that spear or arrow was in a state of hamartia, having missed the mark, having fallen short. And that word hamartia is translated in the New Testament as sin. Hence, when we sin, what we're really doing is missing the mark, falling short of God's will, God's goal, God's plan, God's objective for our life. That's sin. Not a list of misdeeds. Not a list of things that you should be doing, but aren't. Not a list of things that you shouldn't be doing, but are. Sin is falling short of the glory of God. That means that it doesn't matter how good you are. As John says, we're all sinners. He wrote in his letter, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I mean, Dave may be pretty good on the scale compared to Jeff. And Jeff may be pretty good on the scale compared to Al. And they all may be excellent on the scale compared to Ted. And Ted may be head and shoulders on the scale compared to me.
Yeah.
Watch it. But compared to God, we've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short. We've all failed to hit the center of the target. I've watched my dad out on the rifle range shooting. Dad is a marksman. He won awards and ribbons and things when he was in the ROTC for his marksmanship. And he can shoot a target, a football field and a half away with a scope, and go through the very center of the target, not just once, but twice, and leave only one hole. Dad's a good shot. Dad's a marksman. And when it comes to following God's will for our lives and God's desire and God's goal that He has for us, unless we can do that, hit it square on every single time, we've fallen short. We've missed the mark. Sure, you might be able to hit in the second ring or the third ring or somewhere on the target. Most of us hit the broadside of barns. We miss the mark. We fall short. We sin. It's as simple as that. You can come up with a list of sins. You can come up with a list as long as my arm. Or Dave's arm. He has a long one. And it doesn't matter. If it's as short as one, you've fallen short. And that means that we need Jesus. The apostle wrote, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Well, that sounds like a good one, doesn't it? You ought to not be sinning. Really, we ought to not be sinning. But guess what? If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a lawyer. We have a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice. Older translations like to say they're expiation. It sounds more fancy. Atoning sacrifice. Full payment for our sins, for our having fallen short, for our imperfections and our inability to hit the mark that God sets for us. He paid in full the price for our having fallen short. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But you know what? Not just for Ted's sins. Not just for Clara's sins. Not just for Gary's sins or Scott's sins. Not just for Sandy's sins or Mary's sins or Cindy's sins. Not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. That's good news, my friends. And it's good news that calls us to duty. Because you see, I would love it if this passage was telling us that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world and therefore the whole world is saved. But it's not true in our case that Jesus' death for our sins guarantees our salvation. We have to accept the gift. The same is true for the world. Why isn't the whole world saved since Jesus died for the sins of the whole world? Because the whole world doesn't accept Jesus. And they don't accept Jesus in many cases because they don't know about Him. They've never met Him. And that's what we as the body of Christ are called to do. We're called to go out there, outside those doors, and live as the body of Christ. We're called to go out there and to live and express the love of Jesus that would die on the wood of the cross. We're called to go out and be Jesus to those we meet and express His love for the whole world. That's what we are called to do. In response, in thanksgiving response for the gift of His atoning blood. It's a simple Easter message. The gospel is simple. I could have said it in 10 words and sat down, and I think Ted would have been pleased had I done that. Simple fact is, the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins means that we can come into the presence of God the Father. We can come into His presence and rejoice in His love. And we have nothing to fear in the light of Christ. Yes, I'm a sinner. As Paul said, I probably am the chiefest of sinners. Compared to some of the people in this church, I'm pretty low on the totem pole. But all of us, compared to God, compared to Jesus, we all fall short. Doesn't matter if you're the worst sinner or the greatest saint. Relative distance, getting close only works for horseshoes, friends. We've got to hit the mark. And we can only do that in Jesus Christ, as He hits the mark for us. Give thanks to God in this Easter season that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And give thanks to God that His grace is there to cover and forgive and transform. This Easter season, we're going to look at some of these fundamentals of our faith, beginning today with the fundamental message of salvation. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, thank You for the atoning sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank You for the grace which covers all our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, Almighty God. We thank You. Bless us in this week. Empower and strengthen us to live as forgiven sinners, recognizing that we miss the mark, but Jesus forgives and hits the mark for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.